I want to talk to you today. There's one simple point in this lesson, the sermon. There's some context to it, some things around it to understand, but it's one simple point about loving the Lord as a motivation for doing the right things. And I want to show you the life of a man named Ziba. But 2 Samuel chapter 9, I want to follow through this man's life, or at least what's recorded of his life, and show you he manipulates David at a time when David's vulnerable, and you'll see how the application comes through. 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is where you're introduced to this man, Ziba. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. So David goes and gets Mephibosheth, and then skip down to verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons, thy servants, shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth." All right, that's where you meet Mephibosheth. I mean, Ziba. And he becomes the servant to really Jonathan's son. And based on David's relationship with Jonathan, David wants to show kindness to Jonathan's family after the covenant that they had made, the promises they had made to each other. And so David tracks down Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth, and he's going to show kindness to him and instruct this man Ziba to take care of all of the household and the house and the farm and all that belongs to Mephibosheth now. David's going to give it to him because David's king now, and he wants to be kind to Mephibosheth. So that's where you're introduced to him. And that sounds all well and good. Sounds fine. Ziba becomes the ranch foreman there, and he oversees all the operations on what is now Mephibosheth's land. And so it sounds real good. Well, as time goes on, and as we've gone on through this book, 2 Samuel, we've seen David, his ups and downs. We've seen him, his sin, what's happened, and what's happened with his family. And so at the time we're going to read here in 2 Samuel 16, David's on the run now because his son Absalom has gone to Jerusalem, and he is effectively taking control of the kingdom. And so Ziba now finds David sort of on the run. And 2 Samuel 16 is the next place I want to show you, just four verses in this chapter. And this is where Ziba is going to take advantage of the situation. And it's not readily apparent that that's what he's doing in these verses. Remember, David gives the land to Mephibosheth and makes Ziba the overseer of the caretaker of the land. That's important. 2 Samuel 16, verse 1. says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, this is David is leaving Jerusalem, fleeing. Behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. So next time you meet Ziba, he runs up on David, and David is fleeing from Jerusalem, from his son Absalom. And it looks like Ziba is there to help and to minister to David. So he brings him all this food and all these supplies and says, yeah, these are all for you, David. This is all for your men and the people here. And so it all sounds really good. And if you're just reading that part of Scripture, sounds like Ziba's, you know, trying to be a help. And then he says, David asks some pretty good questions. Number one, where's Mephibosheth? And why isn't he with you? And why are you bringing this? And why isn't he with you? And Ziba says, well, Mephibosheth has taken advantage of the situation in Jerusalem, and he's hoping for your overthrow, and that way his family can get the kingdom back, which doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense, because his family wouldn't be, Saul's family isn't getting the kingdom back anyway. It's David's family, whether it's Absalom or David. And so Ziba does this, it's this flattery on one hand and slander on the other. He slanders Mephibosheth and he flatters David. And it's not readily apparent in these verses that that's happening. I'll show you where it does become clear. Go over to 2 Samuel 19 and verse 24. And I'm giving you all this context, and then we'll get to the meat of the message. 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24. Now, you know how there's three sides to every story. There's that side, and then there's that side, and then there's the truth somewhere and all that. So David has heard Ziba's side of a story. Now he's going to hear Mephibosheth's side of the story. Remember, Mephibosheth is handicapped. He can't really do anything unless someone is helping him move around. So David runs into Mephibosheth now. Chapter 19, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Why did you come with me? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. My servant is Ziba. My servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, and I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters that I have said? Thou and Ziba divide the land. So David finds and runs into Mephibosheth now. Mephibosheth's side of the story is, well, when you were leaving Jerusalem, Ziba packed up some stuff and he left without me, and I was going to go, but I couldn't go. You know, obviously I'm handicapped. I couldn't go. And so he took off and he left me just sitting around here. And so apparently Ziba used the opportunity to flatter David and to slander Mephibosheth, since Mephibosheth wasn't there. And the reason he does this is Ziba wants all the land to himself. He's gonna make the whole property that used to be Saul's property his property. And so the way he does it is he positions himself in a way so that David doesn't know the whole story, and David's at a vulnerable point in time, and Ziba shows up and he's gonna feed and flatter and help and, you know, be a blessing to David. And then at the same time, while he's flattering David, he's gonna slander Mephibosheth. And I thought about doing something about that. You know, just a sermon on those two things, because those two things coming out of the same mouth are really two sides of the same coin: flattery and slander. And flattery is a manipulation of a person. It's building them up so that you get what you want out of them. And slander is destroying a person so that you get what you want out of the situation. Some people slander other people so that they, maybe somebody thinks more of you or something like that. But really, flattery and slander are two sides of the same coin. And Ziba, he does that with David, depending on who has control of the thing that he wants. He flatters that person, and then he destroys the life of another person who can't really help him. And that's typical. That's just typical. But I thought, you know, you understand that. I don't need to do a sermon on slander and flattery. You understand those things aren't good. You understand those things are just manipulation. And you understand that it's not right to do those things. So I couldn't think of a whole sermon to put together to just say, hey, don't slander. Hey, don't flatter people. But I saw something else in all this. And it really goes to the heart of obedience to the king. And the application, I think, is readily made and probably easily made of our obedience to the king. But at some point in time in Ziba's life, you saw his big family. He has, I think it said he has 15 children. He has 20 servants. He just has this massive household of people. And at some point in time, maybe it was right when David gave the commandment, I don't know. When David gave the commandment in 2 Samuel 9, Ziba sounded like he was on board. He sounded like, it's good, your instruction is good, we will carry it out, and that's good, we'll do all that. But at some point in time, Ziba got tired of doing what the king told him to do. I don't know when that was. It might have been, just speculating, it might have been when David gave him the original instruction and said, hey, you are going to be in charge now of all of Mephibosheth's land, and you're going to be responsible to till the land, to farm it, and all that stuff. And at that point, Ziba maybe, in his mind, had this seed of, you know, this isn't right. Why should my family be put to work for this crippled man who has one son? I mean, he can give him a little piece of land and he can be fine with it. I've got this huge family to take care of. And why are you making me responsible for all this? And clearly Ziba doesn't say that, but I could easily see that's a thought in a person's mind, where it's just unjust, and why would the king put me and make me responsible for all of this when he knows my family's needs and he knows where I'm at in life? Why would he do that? Maybe it's there. Maybe it's at the very beginning in 2 Samuel 9 when David gives the orders. Or maybe over time, and you know how this works, over time the king's commandments become wearisome. And life happens, and people grow up, and things go on, and health happens. And at some point in time, the king's commandments become burdensome. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you probably can think of the time where that was so exciting. It was just so exciting. And you trust Jesus Christ, and it's just like, man, cloud nine. I can't believe this has happened, and I can't believe the Lord saved my soul. I can't believe it. And then life happened. And then time happened. And then the world happened. And then kids happened. And then family happened. And what happens is all of that joy and all of that life and energy and rejoicing, all of that stuff gets really crowded by just circumstances. And over time, you start looking at the king's commandment, and the king wants me to do this, and it's like, it becomes a real drag to go out and have to farm all this. This is getting really old, especially since it's not my land. And I've got to go farm all this stuff. I've got to put my kids to work in all this. And this isn't even my land. And so, at some point in time, Ziba, he gets, the Bible says, weary in well-doing. He just gets tired of following the king's commandment. But he doesn't throw a fit about it. What he's going to do to remedy that is he's going to manipulate the situation. He's going to show up and he's going to flatter David. And he's going to slander Mephibosheth in hopes that David will just say, okay, Ziba, land's yours. You have no more responsibility to Mephibosheth. It's all yours. And David says that in 2 Samuel 16. He says that. And then, of course, he gets to the other side of the story later on. But he says that in 16. And so Ziba's remedy for this thing, for his being tired of the king's commandment, and I can completely see it. The day-to-day stuff in Ziba's life, the oversight of all the ranch affairs and all this stuff that David has put under his responsibility, it just gets old. The body gets old. You get just tired. And so he grows weary in the king's instruction. He probably doesn't feel like it's right that his large family has to take care of this little family. Just doesn't see that it's right. So he decides to manipulate the situation, like you saw there, and the flattery, the slander, and sort of this is the way faithless people mishandle the situation. It's like I don't like the king's commandment. Therefore, I am going to manipulate things so that I'm not under the king's commandment anymore. I'm going to manipulate the situation. I'm going to manipulate the circumstances. I'm going to manipulate people's lives so that I don't have to follow the king's commandment anymore. Now, you think about it with your life. We're talking about King David here, but we're on a bigger scale, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his commandments. And the way Christians just get tired of day-to-day king's commandment. You know what? I'm getting older. I'm getting tired. My family's growing up. And what you do is you see the king's commandment didn't change any. It hasn't changed. But what's happened is your circumstances have changed. And so you try to figure out, how can I manipulate this situation so that I don't have to be under the king's commandment anymore? I don't have to be faithful to the things I used to be faithful to. I don't have to take responsibility for the things I used to take responsibility for. How do I get out of this? And some of you may have already successfully done that. You've worked your way out of the king's commandment, and maybe in your mind, and in our mind, you think, and we think, okay, I've gotten away from the king's commandment, but the reality is, you haven't gotten away from it. This is just a form of unfaithfulness. This is just a form of disobedience. It's just sort of a sophisticated form of it. It's just sort of a very manipulative form of disobedience. And if you think you can manipulate God's instruction and the king's commandments, it doesn't work. I mean, maybe for a while it seems like it works, but when it comes out in the wash, it doesn't work. So this is what Ziba does. You got the idea. He's got, and maybe you can relate to it. I mean, I read through here, and I try to put myself in people's situations to think about what they're thinking about at these times, and maybe you would hear Ziba make a case, and you might say, you know what, you make a good case. David shouldn't have put that on you. I mean, that's costing your family a lot. That's a big burden. And maybe your friends might say, you know what, I don't think the Lord talks like that. I don't think He expects you to do all that. I don't think He expects that of you. And so maybe there's a case made. Maybe it's understandable. Maybe it's you can empathize with it. But ultimately, the king's commandment is the king's commandment. And so the one point in all of this, I think about this, when you get tired of doing the king's commandment, because you will, you'll get tired of it. When you get tired of doing the king's commandment, like Ziba did, and whatever the case is, it might be reasonable, or you think it's reasonable, whatever the case is, you get tired of doing the king's commandment, you have one of two options. Number one, I can choose to love the grudge I hold against the king. You say, oh, I love Jesus. I would never hold a grudge. Well, if he says something and instructs you to do something you don't want to do, you hold a grudge against him. If he has some responsibility for you as a Christian that you don't want to do, that right there is an area of disagreement, and that right there is an area where I say, no, I don't want to do that, and no, I think that it's unjust that you would tell me to do that. So you have that option of choosing to hold a grudge against the injustice of the king's instruction. You know, and I don't have to tell you that doesn't work. Everybody will end up frustrated in the end, including God, when people despise the Lord's commandments. You can choose to manipulate people along these lines, control. I mean, if we can't control our envy or frustration, if you can't control those things, you're not making the situation any better. It's not getting better by your lack of control of your own frustrations and envy and comparing your life to this other person's life, and hey, their life should look more like my life, or my life should look more like their life. It's you're just on the road to frustration. So you can choose to love the grudge that you hold against the king. Choose that way. Or this. And this is the one point in all this. You can choose to love the king. Here's how this works. This is simple. We may get you out before noon here. There's a verse that says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? And there is It's not about works or whatever people apply to that stuff. It's simple. It's this. If mom and dad say, take out the trash, you'll take out the trash for one of two reasons. You hate the consequences of not doing it, or you'll do it because you love mom and dad. You know why you don't take out the trash? Because you love taking out the trash. I'm not going to wash dishes because that's my favorite thing to do. I'll wash dishes if mom and dad say wash dishes because I love mom and dad and what that does for mom and dad when I do it. I'm not going to feed the animals because I just love cat food and dog food and love being around it and just playing in it and all that. No. I'm going to feed animals. I'm going to do chores that are my responsibility to do because of what it does for mom and dad. Make sense? I'm not doing this because I love to do this thing. I don't love dish soap. I don't love washing dishes. But I do love mom and dad. And when mom and dad say wash dishes, I love the way that it makes them happy when I do that. So John says it this way. He says, look, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my command. And it's not you keep my command because you love necessarily the task that you have to perform. You may not like the task you have to perform, but what I do love is I love the Lord. And I love what my obedience does for him. And so, you know, every one of you will come to these crossroads. And the crossroads really is, do I love the Lord or do I not love the Lord? Because that ultimately becomes the motivation. Am I going to do this because it makes God happy? Or am I going to ignore this and say and have all of these reasons why I'm tired of this thing? It does this to my family and my kids aren't allowed to do this because of this. And it makes this happen and then this dynamic and this circumstance. And these are all the 14 reasons why I can't do this. Or because you as parents, you deal with it and you think about this. When you give the instruction and then there's all of these reasons why I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do this. You know what that sounds like? I don't care. I just don't care. Just do this thing. Well, I don't like doing it. Well, I don't like doing it. But I did it. It's not about loving the task at hand. You know what? Being a Christian, sometimes if you're called to whatever ministry, I'd say pastoring. That's just a personal one. But whatever it is you're doing, evangelism, Alan preaching all over the place, preaching in prison, jail, radio, all that stuff. Whatever task is at hand, guaranteed, someday that task is going to be a drain. It's going to get old, it's going to get tiring, and if you don't have the motivation that says, you know what, I love the Lord, therefore I will do what He said. That's the motivation. And if you don't have that, what you end up doing is trying to figure out excuses about how do I get out of this situation. Ziba becomes, and really, you're not told at what point in time he becomes tired of the king's commandment because it doesn't really make any difference. It just happens over time. It happens to people. You just get tired of doing this thing, weary of well-doing. You've heard that phrase show up, and it's life. And you get tired of it. And so what you have to think about is, okay, I am tired of performing this task. I don't see fruit from it. I don't understand why I'm doing it. I don't know what's supposed to happen when I do this. I'm not seeing what I think I should see. It's not happening. However, Lord, you told me to do this. Therefore, I love you and I will do this because of what it does for you. I trust that your instruction is good instruction. I trust that what you said, you know full well what you said. And you know full well the consequences of what you said. And you know full well all the circumstances around it. And so, Lord, I love you. And I am going to keep this commandment because I love you. I mean, it's a very simple concept. And so it is, when you get to that New Testament, the Bible says faith that operates by love. I could never wrap my mind around what that means. Faith that operates by love. Well, how does that work? It works in the exact way that we're talking about. Lord, I trust you, and I am going to let my love for you be the only motivation, because at this point, it is the only motivation I have. I don't like the task. I don't like what I'm doing. It doesn't seem to be working with my family the way I want it to. But Lord, you said to do this. Therefore, I love you and I will do this because you said to. That is faith. I trust you, Lord, that works by love. That's the motive. And it's a very simple concept. I think you get it. You know why Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was obedient unto death? And he didn't want to be. And he says, Lord, says, Father, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. That was his desire. Father, take this cup from me. You know what he says next? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what the motive is? Father, I love you. You told me to do this. And if you told me to do this, I will do this because of what it does for you. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not that I don't have a will. Father, take this cup from me. It's too much. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Jesus Christ is obedient unto death, not because he loves dying on a cross. You know why he's obedient unto death? Because he loves his Father. And his Father loved the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is obedient unto death, not because he loves dying on a cross. And don't make it that spiritual. These tasks, I mean, I guess you could say there's some, there is spiritual value to all that, obviously. But it doesn't have to be about, hey, well, if you're not loving what you're doing, you're just not loving God. Well, you haven't been doing what you've been doing long enough. Because at some point, you're going to not love what you're doing. And you're going to have to find some other source of motivation than, hey, I love my job. I love my job. Because there comes a day where I don't love my job. But I do love God. And because he said to do this, this is what I do because I love him and I keep his command. That's why I do it. That's why you would do it. Some of you may have, and I don't know all your circumstances, but just think about it in your own life. You come to this point where you've given up on loving the King, you've chosen Ziba's way, which is to manipulate and try to sort of wiggle your way out of the out of the instruction. And I mean, it's an adult way of doing what kids do to get out of instructions, you know. It's just a more adult, sophisticated way of doing that. But maybe you come to that point. I would say, I hope this message, I hope this lesson really drills down to the motivation and helps you understand, look, if you want to love God, there are going to come things in your life where He instructs, and you may enjoy the instruction at first. Guaranteed, though, there is coming a time where you will get tired of the instruction. And you have to find it, find the motivation in, I love the Lord. Therefore, if that's my only motivation, that's the only motivation I have now. But Lord, I'll do this because of what it does for you. I don't see any prospect from it. I don't see any fruit from it. In fact, I got to take away from this in order to do this. My kids don't get to participate in this or whatever the case is. But guaranteed, you come to that point. And hopefully this idea, you can understand and distill it in your mind, because people say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Well, if you love the Lord, keep His commandments. Not because you love taking out the trash, but you take out the trash because of you love what it does to mom and dad. I don't love doing dishes, but I love what doing dishes does for mom and dad. I regret that I learned this later in life. I was a terrible teenager. Terrible. And at some point it clicked later in teen years that this disobedience hurts mom and dad. And for some reason that didn't click. But when it did, these verses like this made sense. If you love me, keep my command. I remember, and my parents will rake me over the coals and agree with what I'm about to say. But I was not, we had a push mower. We didn't have a huge yard, but I hated yard work. I just hated it. And it was tough. I was bad. I was very bad. But when it came to that understanding, that recognition, you know what? This disobedience hurts mom and dad. That. Now you understand the principle. Now you get it. It's the same way with the Lord. If you love me, keep my commands. For the 100th time, it's not because I love the task. I may get tired of the task. What I do love is I love the one who gave me the task to do. And He said do it. And because He said do it, I want to do it. Because of what it'll do for Him. Not that I'm adding anything to His life or anything, but I know the Father appreciates the obedience of His children. I know that. And you know that. Simple point. If you love me, keep my commandments. So what is it in our lives that has crept in and stolen that love of God? And so we find in our lives some area of disobedience where we've excused it. We've given it reasons. We've said, well, that Ziba, well, my family's bigger than his family. I got more mouths to feed. I got to do this. I got to do that. Whatever the reason, but some area of life where we've embraced disobedience and excused it. And we've excused it. It's time to think back and say, all right, Lord, I know your commandments haven't changed. You've told me to do this. And I have neglected this responsibility. I've made excuses about it. But now it's time I love you. And now it's time I act like I love you. Now it's time. One point. If you love me, keep my commands. Ziba, if you love the king, just do what he says. This thing becomes a little bit of a problem in the future, but it's in 2 Samuel. But if you just love me, none of it would be a problem. None of it, you wouldn't have to manipulate. You wouldn't have to make excuses. Just keep my commandment. And do this. Embrace that. Embrace the, you know what, it does get tiring. It does get trying. It does get hectic and things like that. And that's part of life. Learn to embrace it. Learn to accept and just, you know what, I love you, Lord. I love you. You told me to do it. I love you. It's part of this whole thing. But I'm going to love you through it. And I'm going to do it because you said to. So that's the lesson. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. As Sam comes and plays, maybe we can reflect on some aspects of our lives. And I hope that's helpful. I hope that's helpful. If you want to bow your heads, close your eyes, just reflect on areas of your life. Maybe you need some motivation. You're just burned out of the Christian life. And you can't find any motivation. Here's the motivation. The motivation is to love the Lord. He wants you to live this life. That's the motivation. Do it because it makes Him happy.